You're listening to WWBC, Cocoa, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Cocoa, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello and welcome, everybody. You're listening to Kingdom Sounds. We are the radio broadcast ministry for Victory International Praise Ministries. Our address, 250 North Babcock Street in Melbourne, Florida. I am super excited to announce today the release of Apostle Thomas Robinson's brand new book entitled The Paradigm of Man and Earth. You can get your copy today at Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, Apple Books, Google Play Books, Kobo, Walmart, and Target. This book is anointed, and you're going to be blessed at the hidden revelations of the paradigm of man and earth as God unlocks to you the profound connection between the creation of the earth and the birth of humanity. It's going to bring you into a greater knowledge of your identity in Christ and who God has created you to be. God bless you. And pick up your copy today. Brothers and sisters, I'm feeling real good because it ain't
over. Right before I die, I got it. Hello and welcome to another installment of the Hour of Power radio program, hosted by Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr. We're glad you could join us this morning as we delve into the Word of God. So prepare your hearts, prepare your minds, and grab a Bible. Now here's your host, Pastor Thomas Robinson Jr.
Hello and welcome. God bless you. Happy to be on the air today and in the studio. You are listening to Kingdom Sounds. We are the broadcast for Victory International Praise Ministries, 250 North Babcock Street. I'm your host in the studio, Minister Andre Jordan. We are here growing in the Word. Thank God for each of you, our listeners, that are joining us now every Thursday at 6 p.m. We are just appreciative for those of you that tune in, those of you that let us know you're listening, those of you that are being blessed by this radio broadcast. We praise God for all of you. And today we're jumping in. We're jumping in. We want to talk about failure. Come on, we've all experienced a time where we blew it, my God. But I want to encourage you from that place today. So let me pray really quickly and let's just be led by the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you so much of your love for us. Thank you so much for everyone that is divinely tuning into this radio broadcast by your divine appointment today, that they hear this word. Father, thank you that you are the lifter above our heads. Thank you that you lead and guide us and protect us. And thank you that our steps are ordered by the Lord. And thank you that when we blow it, when we mess up, God, you've always had a recovery plan. And so today, let ears be open to hear, let hearts receive, let there be a paradigm shift in the thinking of believers, and let somebody receive Christ today. Let somebody come back to the Lord that walked away because they thought they blew it and they thought it was over. Let them be encouraged. It ain't over in God. So thank you, thank you, thank you again for being here with us. We're talking about failure. We're talking about recovering from failure. I just want to say, personally, failure is not final. Failure is not final. It doesn't have to be final. It's up to you and I. When we blow it, when we mess up, when we hit a rock bottom place that we never thought I would do, I never thought I would hit, let us look up and return to the Lord. So my whole thought today, failure is not final. Failure is not fatal. It doesn't have to be fatal. That's up to you. If failure is going to be final, it's because of you. If failure is going to be fatal, it's because of me. It does not have to be, because we have a God that is forgiving. We have a God with his arms stretched out that is, guess what he's waiting for us to do?
to recover and repent. So failure is not final. Failure is not fatal because the Lord, our God, has extended to us the opportunity to recover. When we fail, when we blow it, we've got to recover and we've got to repent. It goes hand in hand. My recovery is contingent upon my repentance. I looked in the Word of God. I know I can think very easily of a place that I failed. Honestly, I can think of many places that I failed, and you probably can too. But what did you do? How did you go from that place of failure, that place of dejection, that place of, oh my God, sorrow in your heart, godly sorrow. God, I'm so sorry. Sometimes we're so ashamed, but God does not want us staying in that place. God wants us to recover, and he wants us to recover quickly, and he wants us to repent, and he wants us to get up, and he wants us to begin following him again, walking after him again. When I looked into the Word, when I went through something recently and I thought, God, how did that happen? How did I fail there? How did I miss? How did I see a situation coming? And I told the Lord how I was going to handle it. And guess what? I blew it. And then I was talking to the Lord about, God, how did that happen? But let's just look first at people in the Bible that we know failed miserably, but it wasn't fatal, but it wasn't final, but it wasn't their end, and it wasn't their future. God still has Jeremiah 29. I know, for I know the plans I, God, have for you. God is certain of his plans that he has for you, so you and I can be assured my failure is not the end. My failure is not final. My failure is not my future. God's plans, God's promises stand. They stand, and because they stand, you and I can stand on them. I'm encouraged today, and I want you to be encouraged. I want you to recover. Acknowledge I missed it. I messed up. I want you to not blame anybody, but I want you to own it, acknowledge it before the Lord, before the Lord. Oh, I'm getting King David, 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12, the big mess up, the big blow it, the big failure. In the time of war, the king is out of pocket and out of position. In the time of war, the king tarried too long in the wrong place, got caught up looking too long, entertained sin, and then he pursued it. David and Bathsheba, married to Uriah, the king already had wives and concubines and everything he could want, but here he is out of position. So when I asked the Lord in my situation, God, how did this happen? The Lord said to me, pride, you were going to stand firm and say, absolutely not. Not going to do that. You're not going to do that. We're not going to have that. But compliments, flattery, the enemy was able to creep in with pride. So here, pride caused you to take your eyes off God, caused you to step down on your stand for God. This can happen in the workplace. This can happen in relationships, friendships, any capacity of not standing firm for what God's word says. We can fail. We can want to please people, so we can lessen, we can take down, because I don't want to seem crazy. Sometimes I want to say this, being bold to the level of boldness we need to be for God, we will look crazy. And in my situation, I didn't want to look crazy. So I took a lesser, politically correct, listen. Thank God failure ain't final. Thank God failure ain't fatal. Thank God failure ain't my future. Thank God I could recover and repent, but I wanted to talk to God about it. And I was like, God, how can I never be in this place? Imagine David with Bathsheba. How can you never, God, let me never be found in this place again. David took a minute, but he recovered and he repented and God restored and God blessed him after. Failure sometimes means there are consequences, but it's not our permanent place of failure. It's not a permanent place that I blew it. I messed up, no matter what it is, no matter what it is, God will help you recover. God will receive you again if you make a decision to acknowledge your sins and my sins and don't blame shift and don't gaslight and don't point fingers, but take responsibility before the Lord to recover, to ask him to recover you and to repent and to be godly sorrow and then to follow after him and his word. Get back in right position. Get back in right alignment. Get back in right relationship. Another example, Elijah the prophet, 1 Kings chapter 17 through 19. Elijah the prophet, and we know the greatest prophet in the scripture next to Jesus, did great feats, great demonstrations of the power of God when he defeated the prophets of Baal at Mount Carmel, and he had them make a fool out of himself. My God, the prophet of God spoke so boldly, had them cutting themselves and crying out to Baal, and then the Lord showed up and he set everything on fire from heaven. So there's a great feat between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. All the false prophets were defeated. God made an open show and an open mockery of them. And so the man of God behind this great victory in the name of God. Then First Kings 19. So after all that God did in defeating the prophets of Baal, after God utterly destroys them, then Ahab the king talks to his wife, and she says, 1 Kings 19, and Ahab the king told Jezebel, his wife, all that Elijah had done, how he had defeated, I think it was 700 prophets of Baal, and how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. God destroyed them through this man of God. And so the point is, we can be great and on the mountaintop of victory in God. Look at what the Lord has done. Look at how the Lord has used me. Look at how the Lord has blessed. And then here comes Jezebel. She sent a messenger unto Elijah after she heard what God had used him to do and how all the false prophets under her power and control were destroyed. She said, let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not your life as the life of one of those prophets that you slew by tomorrow about this time. So she used fear tactics, manipulation, and sent a word to him. She sent a message. Let the God strike me down and kill me by tomorrow this time if I don't kill you just like you killed them. And so how do we sometimes fail? Because we take our eyes off God. We're never going to fail if we keep our eyes on God, if we allow him to keep our mind stayed on him, if we continue to trust in him. But fear caused Elijah to fail. And so what did the great man of God and the prophet do? When he got the message, he arose. 1 Kings 19, verse 3, he arose and he went for his life. He ran and took off. Oh, my God, how many times do we take our eyes off God and allow fear to come into the camp of our heart, and we run in fear, we take off in fear without instruction, without direction, without the Holy Spirit leading. We begin to do things out of fear, out of our own emotional place, out of our own mind and not the mind of Christ. It's so important that our mind is renewed and we permit, let this mind that was in Christ Jesus be in me. Yes, we're perfectly imperfect as humans, but we have the power of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God, and we have the mind of Christ. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. We have his name and his authority. And yes, we will be human. We will never be perfect here on the earth because we live in an earth suit. But God wants us to know, don't stay down in places of failure. This also shows us the greatest, King David, Prophet Elijah, the Tishbite. Great men and women of God can fail, but it does not have to be final. I'm going to drive that home until you receive it. Your failure does not have to be final. Your failure does not have to be fatal. Your failure, my failure, it does not dictate my future, because I've learned to recover. I've learned to repent. I've learned to return. So we're recovering, we're repenting, and we're returning back to God, back to His Word, back to faith, back to loving Him, back to obeying Him, back to trusting Him, back to walking with Him, back to reading our Word. We've got to be people of the Word. We've got to be people that read the Word of God, that sow the Word in our hearts, that invest in the Word. The Word, we need more Word in us. The Word causes us to think right. The Word of God causes us to walk right. The Word of God builds our faith in Him. The Word of God is the mind of God. So God's Word is everything. It has to be everything to us again. The Word of God is our anchor, so I don't drift into the perspective of the world, so I don't drift into the love of the world. It's an anchor. It holds me in place. It keeps me from drifting to and fro with every wind of doctrine. I'm firm in the Word. I'm firm in what God says. And so we need to be strengthened. So for Elijah the Tishbite, fear caused him to run. And he went for his life, and he ran to Beersheba. And he went a day's journey in the wilderness. He came and sat under a juniper tree, and he requested, he said, God, just let me die. He prayed to die. He had just destroyed all of Jezebel's 700 prophets. But here he is now. Fear has got him timid. Fear has got him relying on himself. We can't take our eyes on God. When we recover, when we repent, when we return, we put our eyes back on God. I even think about the passage of the prodigal son, that parable where he got all of his substance from his father. He say, I'm grown now. The dad is still living. Before the father is even deceased, he's like, give me what you're going to give me. I'm not going to wait for you to die. Give it to me now. I want it now. And so he goes to a far country and he lives without restraint. Riotous living, sinful living, rebellious living, and he gets to a low place of failure. Imagine that. Already he lived a good life with his father, and then his father gave him riches and wealth and substance and money and finances, and so he could have lived a good life probably to the end of his life. But here it is. God has given you everything you need to succeed, everything to be successful, His Word, His name, His authority, His power. Material things, job, car, home, house, family, just a picture of success. And here it is. You allow the world, we allow the world and the love of the things that are outside of God. We go outside of the boundaries and restraint of God, and we find ourselves caught up in wrong places with wrong people and things. And we get to a low place. It could happen. It's happened to many, but that is the fact that it could happen is not the point. The point is, after it happens, what do you determine and decide and make a decision? The prodigal son made a decision in the low place. The prodigal son made a decision feeding the pigs, slopping the hogs. What a smelly, stinky, nasty, muddy, low place, filthy place. But he decided, he looked up and made a decision. Look at me now. This is not the Jeremiah 29. I know the plans I have for you, future. I'm living outside of God. I'm living in a place, a low place. But he had enough in him. Train and teach our children in the way of the Lord so that when they're older, it won't depart from them. Our children, failure is not final for our children. Failure is not fatal for our children. Failure is not the future for our children. Our children may now be in a low place, but like the prodigal son, because we've put the Word in them, because we've invested and planted the seed of God in them, they are going to recover. Our children are going to recover. Our children are going to come out of the pig slop place, out of the low place, out of the pig's pen. Our children are going to return to the Father, just like we saw in the scripture with the prodigal son. I want to testify. I can remember when my son was in a low place, when my son was living like the prodigal son, living without restraint, without the restraint of the word, without the restraint of righteousness, at an age to go into the world and find and make their way, and left the foundations of the word that he had been taught. And I remember being in service, and the woman of God used her to say that the seed of righteousness, the scripture tells us that the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. The seed of the righteous shall be saved. That there was a seed of righteousness planted in him, and it was under, just like a seed goes into the ground and it dies, the kernel dies and it produces a harvest. That seed of righteousness was alive in him, and there was going to be a harvest. It was going to crack through the soil. And so be encouraged as we talk about failure not being final today, as we talk about failure not being fatal today, as we talk about failure not being our future. Be encouraged when it comes to your children. They're coming out. They're coming through. And sometimes as parents, we're very hard on ourselves if we didn't teach and train them in the way that they should go, if we didn't plant the seeds when they were young. But it's not too late. This is the point of this message. It's not too late in God. It's not too late for anybody listening, anybody in your family, your children, your husband, your spouse, your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, your coworkers. It's not too late to recover. It's not too late to repent. It's not too late to return to the Lord. It's not too late. Oh, you have breath. You're alive. There's breath in your lungs. It's not too late for God to save. His hand is not too short to save. Be encouraged today. Stand on your word. Get into your word. Google. Use Blue Letter Bible. What does the Bible say about my children being saved? What does the Bible say about my husband being saved? What does the Bible say about God's hand not being too short to save? What does the Bible say about there being nothing too impossible for God? I pray today you're being stirred from a place of feeling sorry for yourself because you missed it. I pray today that you're being stirred from a place of letting the enemy torment your mind because of your actions, choices, ways, and deeds. Recover in the name of Jesus, I pray. Recover. Acknowledge your sins. I had to acknowledge my sin. I acknowledge that, God, had I not allowed this person to use flattery and then pride in that situation, oh, you're doing a good job, oh, that I should have stood flat-footed and firmly and declared the word of the Lord concerning that situation was a no. And so if we risk looking crazy for God, because the people that are not in God don't understand the things of God. And so we will look crazy, but we've got to be bold and say what thus say the Lord. So I'm recovering myself from failure. And so that's why I'm on here sharing. It's not final. It's not fatal. I talked to the Lord. I repented. I'm like, God, give me an opportunity to fix it. Give me an opportunity to stand firm. Give me an opportunity to stand flat-footed. And so I want to encourage you today, wherever you are, come out of the low place. I call you out of the low place. I call you out of the shameful place. I call you out of the place of where you're thinking that this is it. It ain't it. You've got breath in your lungs so you can recover. God has given you grace today to recover. He helps us in the story about the prodigal son. The father was waiting for the son to acknowledge. The father was waiting for the son to return. God is waiting. He's saying, maybe they'll repent today. Maybe they'll return today. Maybe they'll acknowledge the sin before. Maybe they'll ask for my help today. He's waiting on you. He's waiting on me. God is not mad at you, but he's waiting. God requires repent. Ask me. Come back to me. Return to me. I'll help you. I'm merciful. I'm gracious. I'm long-suffering. He's long-suffering with us. Everything he does is motivated by his love. He loves us today. So I pray today we can learn. The Bible has given us scripture after scripture. Apostle Paul, that used to be Saul, killing the believers, crucifying the church, killing, signing off the documents, hot and zealous in pursuit to kill the people of God, the body of Christ, because he thought that they were wrong and he thought the traditions of men were right. And so imagine getting saved and coming to the Lord and you look back, I used to be a murderer. How am I worthy to be used of God? But I tell you what, his past failure was not final. His past failure was not his future. And that's what God wants you and I to know. It's not our future. It's not final. It's not the end of the story. We can press into God. We can recover. We press into him through repentance. We return unto him. We follow him. We take up our cross. We renew our minds in the word. And we live for him with everything in our being. We let the word dictate what we say, do, and think, believe, perceive, respond, act. Peter denying Christ. All of us have denied Christ in some manner, shape, or form. We kept our mouth closed in the circle when we should have been bold for him. We did not stand up for him. Peter denied Christ. And the Lord, the thing about it, the Lord told him, before the crow, before the rooster crows three times, Peter, you'll deny me. And so God told him ahead of time. And guess what? Peter said, never, I'll never deny you. And the Lord knew. God knows us. God already knew the failure was coming. God already knew we would miss the mark. He's not surprised. We've got to realize he made us. He created us. He knew our end before our beginning, before we were ever born. So we've got to know that nothing we do, nothing we say surprises God. So don't allow the enemy to put condemnation and shame on us, but let us today make a decision. I decide today in the name of Jesus that I'm recovering and I'm repenting. I decide today in the name of Jesus that I'm returning to the Lord my God, that I'm returning to my relationship with God. I'm returning to living for God. I'm returning to selling out for God. I'm returning to surrendering for God. And above all, I'm returning to obeying God. Obedience is better than anything else we can offer him, to obey him, to keep his commands, to keep his word, to do what he tells us to do, to be led by the Holy Spirit. One more thing I want to say as we talk about failure not being final, failure not being fatal, failure not being our future. We've got to be bold and open our mouth and speak forth the word of God. I fell into that crack because I didn't open my mouth and say what the word of God says. So I encourage you today. I pray the broadcast has been a blessing. This is Victory International Praise Ministries. Our pastor, Pastor Thomas, Pastor Teresa Robinson, 250 North Babcock Street in the city of Melbourne, Florida. Let us know how the ministry is being a blessing to you. Come and visit us Sunday mornings, 11 a.m., Tuesday night, 7 p.m. God bless you. God keep you. Walk.
Hello,
in
and
victory.
Welcome, everybody. In Jesus' name. You're listening to Kingdom Sounds. We are the radio broadcast ministry for Victory International Praise Ministries. Our address, 250 North Babcock Street in Melbourne, Florida. I am super excited to announce today the release of Apostle Thomas Robinson's brand new book entitled The Paradigm of Man and Earth. You can get your copy today at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple Books, Google Play Books, Kobo, Walmart, and Target. This book is anointed and you're going to be blessed at the hidden revelations of the paradigm of man and earth as God unlocks to you the profound connection between the creation of the earth and the birth of humanity. It's going to bring you into a greater knowledge of your identity in Christ and who God has created you to be. God bless you. And pick up your copy today.
Thank you for tuning into Kingdom Sounds broadcast. We pray you enjoyed the word today. And if you would like to sow, you can do so at Zelle 321-213-1218 or Cash App at VIP Ministry 250. If you'd like for us to partner with you in prayer, please call us at